Hi guys, welcome back. This is season 2, and well, we're back because popular demand.
Yeah, you're listening to Nuts and Berry. You're with Denise and Tati.
Hi, I'm Tati. She's Denise.
Yes, hi. Just in case you don't recognize our voices.
Yeah, and also it might be your first time here, you know?
Yeah.
If so, hi! Thanks for coming here!
Welcome to the family! I don't think we have an official name for the Nuts and Berry fam.
I don't know, Nuts versus Berries.
You know, maybe just...
Which do you identify? An almond or a grape?
Or, you know what, we don't discriminate. Any form of nuts or berry is accepted here.
All is welcome. So, yeah. So, we thought for the very first episode into season 2, we thought we go over our friendship and how we are as a person and how we've changed over time. I know some people are curious as to, like, how we've met.
Yeah, and I think also with all of our other episodes, we haven't really been very personal. I mean, yeah, we are very real and honest with all our conversations and our topics, but
yes.
I don't think a lot of people really know us.
Yeah.
Like, know us.
And we thought we shed some light a little bit on that.
Yeah, so if you ever, you know, were curious about the people behind the microphone, the people behind the Instagram page, I think today would be a great time to get to know us better. And if you don't want to get us to... I can't even speak. It's been too long. If you don't want to get to know us better, then that's fine. Go back and listen to season 1.
Yeah.
It's completely
fine. It's there.
Fine.
It's all up. It's done. Still can't believe we did all of that.
Same. I really can't believe it. And we've really missed doing this. It's been a while since we've sat down behind all the setups. So we're really excited to bring you the season. We have a lot of great ideas up our sleeve. Hopefully, by now, my editing has somewhat improved. And
right.
There is an increase of quality, maybe not, but we're hoping for, you know, improvement.
Yeah. New things are coming, so yeah, you'll see them.
Stay tuned. Yeah, let's just start. We actually came up with some questions that we're going to ask each other regarding our friendship.
And we're both going to answer them, so sit down and let's get personal.
Okay, I think I'll start off by asking the first question, which is on our friendship. What was our first impression of each other? So I think first we should do a little rewind and just start back on when we actually met and where we met.
Primary 5.
Yeah, we met in primary 5. And for those international listeners, primary 5 is basically grade 5, right? Is it grade 5? I don't know.
We were 11.
I don't know how to...
Here's your reference.
Schooling system is different everywhere.
Yeah.
But we were 11.
Mm-hmm.
Young and...
I recently transferred into the school. And then I think we met in Chinese class?
Yes, that's the irony. Both of us that cannot speak Chinese. We both can't speak Mandarin.
Yeah.
We were both put in the last class.
It's the worst class.
It's where the beginners...
The slowest of the slowest for Chinese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually... Oh my gosh. Us at 11 years old. That was a really long time ago.
Yeah. I can't really remember how I met you. Except...
I know it was in class, but I don't know exactly...
How we introduced each other to each... I can't remember that. But I think I remember the first feeling I got from you, which is like, I guess my first impression of you, mm-hmm. was like, this girl is nice.
Oh, that's so sweet.
She's very nice.
I think, okay, I remember my first impression was of you was also in Chinese class, but I remember because, you know, it's not like we've changed much now, but we both had planners and you were like drawing in yours.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember thinking, wow, this girl's really good at sketching. Because I don't know if you remember, but back then you were really into doodling.
Yeah.
Even in high school, you're always doing like little random doodles.
Yeah.
And I remember like somewhat stalking you and looking at your notebook.
Nice.
And I was thinking, wow, she's really artistic. And I thought that you were super creative. But also, I'm sorry if this sounds mean, I could sense that you didn't know what was going on in class either, which was a real reassurance for me.
Every time there was like exercise that you had to complete or she wouldn't like, the lecturer wouldn't,
Oh my gosh,
the
that's
teacher,
how you know we're old.
The teacher wouldn't let you leave class, you had to finish an exercise and we'd both be like, team up.
Yeah, we'd both team up. How do you do this?
But have to translate.
The funny thing about Tati and I is our friendship kind of just blossomed from our lack of knowledge on languages, because not only were we in the same Chinese class, we were in the same BM class, like Malay class.
In high school.
And it was also because of our lack of BM knowledge that we both ended up going to the same like tuition center.
AKA, we're banana as heck. Yes. As Asians.
Oh, I said it. Okay, for context, we were listening back to season one, and the amount of times you say like are basically just, I'm dumbfounded. I'm trying to stop it, guys. It's something that I'm trying to stop.
Okay? Feel free to totally hold us accountable.
I'm like, sorry for irritating you with the amount of times you said basically and like. I am so sorry.
Yeah. But you want to make a counter, go ahead.
Go ahead. Amuse us and make us feel embarrassed.
Drag us.
Shade us all you want. We know we're at fault. Yeah,
we're trying to fix it, okay, this season two.
We're trying. But yeah, both of us were really bad at BM and Chinese. So if you are a student listening to this and you're struggling, you know, maybe you might find your best friend from those classes.
Exactly.
Sometimes the best friendships come from either both of you not knowing anything or both of you mutually not liking someone. Sometimes it's the best ones. They blossom from that. I'm telling you, it's the truth. But yeah, that was my first impression of you.
Yeah. It was like, it's very good. Good first impression.
Good first impression. It wasn't the kind of friendship where I hated her at first and then like loved her. It was, and
we had our fair shares of like weird memories too.
Yeah, actually so many. I think all our memories are weird actually.
Yeah, not all of them were just like, oh yeah, friendship.
Friendship. But the funny thing is, in primary school, we weren't in the same class. We only shared Chinese class together. But apart from that, we were never in the same class at all.
Yeah.
Not even in high school.
You were in art stream, I was in science stream.
Yeah.
We got really close in high school.
Yeah, that's true. Because in primary school, I don't know, I guess because our classes are so big and we only had one shared class, we didn't really meet outside school or anything. But then
when we started, I think form four, when we started having like the same tuition,
when the struggles got a bit too real, was when we bonded, is what she's trying to say.
Yeah, basically. Pain, nothing like deepens a bond like shared pain.
Oh, yes.
So yeah, first question down. Second question is, what are the changes to our friendship? I think in the beginning, we were just acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got close in upper form, it was when I really thought like, wow, this girl's in my circle.
Aww.
Yeah. Cause you were
so sweet.
There was like a moment where I was like, yeah, she's gonna be in my high school life, in whatever's left of my high school life. Prominently.
Yeah, I think same with me. I think the changes to our friendship also came with as we changed as people as well. Because obviously when you're 11, it's very different from, you know, when you're 17 or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the changes to our friendship also evolved with the kind of people that we were becoming. And I think it kind of synchronized with each other, which is why we got really close. Because obviously at 11, we're very impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
We're still learning who we are. And I can't say that I know who I am today, but what I'm saying is as we grew up, we kind of found ourselves getting more like drawn to each other because of our similar interests.
Will
firstly say that I have nobody else in my life, which is as, how do I put it?
Obsessed
with TV shows and pop culture, quite like Tati. If we go back to our chats, be it Telegram or whatever IM or whatever we use, it was always talking about movies, celebrity culture. We would send each other every time, every year, no doubt, every year, Golden Globes, Oscars, any form of like red carpet
award
events.
Shows.
Yeah. We would send each other screenshots of like dresses that we liked. If we both liked a book, we would bring it to school and talk about it.
Yes.
We would exchange books with each other. We'd go to movies together and then spend like hours after that just analyzing it.
And then,
no one else was as crazy as Tati to keep up with my obsessions, honestly.
Yeah, same. Same with Denise. Denise is that, like, if I had to think of like a film bae, Denise is my ride or die.
Actually, not even film bae. I think just bae. Because even like skincare and makeup, all we ever... Guys, you know, if we didn't spill so much tea in our group chats, I say group chats like there's more people. It's just Tati and I. But like, if we were to show you our chat history, most of the time it's just screenshots of new skincare lines, our reviews. We snap each other our first impressions.
Yeah.
we're that kind of people.
We used to Snapchat each other. Like each other's hauls. We even like Snapchat our groceries to each other, guys.
Yes.
Because we hype sad, each other like, that way.
We actually. And we didn't even have Snapchat back then, but we would still somehow tell each other our hauls like the next day in class.
Oh, the other day I got this product.
Yeah. And then we just talk nonstop in class until the teacher told us off. But
yeah, that hasn't really changed in our friendship.
Okay, yeah, I think in terms of changes in our friendship, that has stayed constant. There's been no change there. I think, in fact, we just mainly have changed the stuff that we buy and the things that we talk about. I mean, it's not like our shopping habits have gone bad or like have decreased. I wish that was the case, but
I do think we chat more very recently in our relationship compared to previous. Not saying like we weren't like blabbing, but like, because in high school I wasn't tech savvy or anything. Like, ask anybody, you couldn't really reach me unless you called my mom.
You know? I can attest to that.
Yeah.
It's true.
Then like after high school, we both studied. I stayed in KK, you studied in Penang.
Yeah.
So there was a couple years where we both were like, we just kept up with Telegram and Skype.
Yeah.
And then when we found out that, oh, I'm studying in cyber, you're studying here,
yeah,
we're only like an hour away, I feel like we exponentially texted,
yeah,
and chatted more than, yeah, we did before.
And obviously with a podcast we have to chat, yes, more. But it's not like we ever need a reason to chat, honestly. We don't need a podcast to find things
legit
to talk
we
about.
We would literally start conversation with like, hey, are you free to hear a rant?
Yeah. Or sometimes we don't even ask, are you free? It's just send the rant.
Hey, yeah. Just send the rant so that like later when one of us is free, like I'll check it.
Yeah, and the thing about us is we've gone past the whole greeting salutation stage. It's straight up just the rant. Like if I have a problem, I'm not even gonna think about, hello, are you free? It's like, okay, you know what? I'm struggling. Here's my struggle. Okay. So the next question. Oh, this is really cute. What we admire / are inspired by about the other
and why?
Yeah.
You want to start?
Where do I begin?
Aww.
Tati is honestly one of the most inspiring people I have ever met in my life. And mainly I say this because she's like my number one supporter, my number one hype girl when it comes to creating stuff. And it's like always been true since primary school, even from the moment, I don't know if you remember, but we used to draw comics together.
Yeah.
Like really randomly draw comics.
That was a phase.
That was a phase. Okay, guys, if you were ever in like elementary school or primary school, please let us know. Were we the only ones that drew comics in class? Because we would have this little buku latihan or exercise book, and we would just draw out
storyboard.
We draw out squares, and then both of us would take turns drawing out, like, not even stick figures though. They were like actual people.
Yeah, we tried.
We had like plot lines, we had side characters,
plot twists,
and then sometimes when the exercise book got like completely filled up, we would staple another exercise book like next to it, and it would become like some series. So basically, what I'm trying to say is that she's always inspired me to just follow like wherever my creative like endeavors go. And even when I started my blog, she was always there to like encourage me. If I was like running low on ideas, she would always be there to listen out and like just hear me out on whatever blog drama I had. And she's just always been super supportive of whatever I do. And I think it's a very encouraging trait to find in a friend. And also, apart from that, I think she's just very loyal.
Oh my gosh, no, she's going to go on.
I'm going to go on. It's an essay. Oh, I don't even need to list it out, honestly. It's just like on the top of my head. She's super loyal. Like, ever since I've met her, I've always been able to trust her with anything that I tell her. And even though it's the most like random struggle that I have, like for example, my mascara is like run dry, I can just text her on hours about how I think that the beauty line is purposely drying out the mascaras. It's a scam. Consumerism is a scam.
Yes, conspiracy theories.
Yeah, just like something as stupid as that. But she'd always be there to listen, to hear me out. And yeah, I could go on all day. We could have like 5 episodes about how much I love Tati. But yeah, that's one of the reasons why.
I think primarily if anyone were to ask me like what's the one thing I am most like and inspired by you, is to like constantly have it together. Like, no, like, the thing is about Denise, it's not that, like, she doesn't have her moments where she just breaks down and stuff, but the thing is she always gets back up, and I think, and I, like, I truly respect that. I love that work ethic. Even, and, like, I consider myself one of, like, the laziest person.
That's on a lie. Earth. Such a lie.
No, honest. And then I look at Denise, and then, like, whenever she's feeling lazy, she still somehow finds a way to, like, twist it around to being productive.
Wow.
And I think that's such a great effort, and it makes me feel, like, less of a, like, I guess, a Taurus and wanna also get it together. And then I find myself, you know what, I think I'm gonna continue with another question or two during revision.
Oh, that's so sweet. And then, I didn't know that.
No, yo, you legit, she works hard. You legit works hard. You hustle. You're one of those people who I consider, like, oh, who inspires me to hustle. Denise, she's there. She's on top of that list.
Oh,
and then, like,
you.
What else? Oh, I also like how you're, like, you're always on my side.
Oh.
I love that. I like how, like, you're not afraid to say, like, ah, but maybe, like, she thought of it this way. And then I'd be like, true. And then you're saying this good advice that's, like, against what I think, just so I can get, like, a better perspective. Basically, you always give me a better perspective at things. And she's always giving me these other angles because she truly just wants me the best options for myself. She basically wants the best for me.
That's so sweet.
And that's
I
why
think
I
this whole episode is like, oh.
Yeah,
oh.
There's gonna be, like, a lot of us baby tearing up because I almost teared up just now.
Oh no.
And yeah, because I truly consider you family. I do.
Same. No, honestly, my family thinks Tati's basically like my second sister at this point. She comes over, no one's even like, Tati, do you want this or not? Because she knows where things are in the house. She's immediately connected to the Wi-Fi. I don't even need to tell her, like, where's my room or, like, use the bathroom if you want. She's there, she knows. And it's kind of always been like that, even though we didn't really visit each other's houses.
Yeah, we live so far from each
even
other.
Even now, we still do.
Yeah.
We're not the kind of, like, best friend next door kind of situation.
No.
We gotta work for this. We gotta drive down. There's a lot of commitment that goes into it.
Into this friendship, yeah.
But one of the things I love most about our friendship is how low maintenance it is.
Oh, yes.
For example, like, when you were mentioning when I was in Penang or when you were still at KK, we didn't have to text every day. We didn't have to talk every day. In fact, there were months where we just wouldn't even say anything to each other. But then on times that I would go back to visit, we would hang out and it'd be another 6-hour day where we just talk nonstop and it's like nothing's changed.
Exactly.
So I really admire that about friendship, and I think that's one of the reasons why it's lasted so long. Because we both don't put that kind of pressure.
Yeah. We don't have that. It's been so long together with each other that if we have any expectation, it's not even like, you know how when you want to, like, explain something, you want to tell your opinion, you're nervous of, like, these people would make segues, like, you know what, speaking of, for us it's not like that. For us,
just
it's,
jump in.
It's straight up, you know, I feel like this.
I remember one time when both of us went out and we just straight up started talking about, like, clothes or whatever, and then jumped straight to, like, contraceptive methods.
Yeah.
Remember that time?
Yeah.
And that's just every conversation we have. There is no segue, there is no lead up, there is actually no context half the time. It's like, whatever comes to my mind, just say it. We've been friends for so long that filter that you have with people, it's gone. It's so gone.
It's just like whatever's coming out.
It's coming out. It could be the most stupid thing ever, but it's still a thing. Sometimes we even ask each other questions like, I don't know, I think we've just asked each other so many things. Or when she comes over for sleepovers, like, in the middle of the night, I just, like, pose a question. Something like, oh, like, why do you think animals are actually getting extinct? Or do you think there is a cure to cancer? Are they hiding the cure from cancer? Yeah, all those kind of questions.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we went a bit off tangent, but it's fine. It's what's new. Okay, the next question is Amina.
I think it's me, actually.
Okay.
When did you know that we were gonna be soul sisters, and why?
Okay, I know it sounds so cheesy, right? Mm-hmm. Soul sisters, but I feel like it's actually true.
Yeah.
It's actually true.
No, we're not even joking about it. You can see our faces. We're just like, yeah.
It's just a fact that we've already accepted. I don't know. Wait, let me try to actually answer this seriously. When did I know?
I can go first.
Okay, yeah.
I think, like, the exact moment was, like, maybe our third or fourth, no, or maybe around like form five, okay? It was my birthday. Form five or form four, I forgot. But it was
mood.
It was when I realized that we were soul sisters was when you got me like a mood board. You made a mood board with like Fran and Chanying with a Kaisan painting.
Shout out to Kaisan.
Yeah, I love Kaisan. Sponsor. And I remember, and then I know it was primarily yours and Chanying's and Fran's an idea, but I know that you were like also the one buying for it, because I got into Pinterest, I think, because of you, because you told me about it and I was like, oh yeah,
so many years later still on Pinterest,
still Pinterested.
I stand. I like that.
So yeah, and then I remember thinking like, wow, no one has truly taken such care and memory to what I truly love and like manifested it in front of me. I remember like, this goes out to Chanying and Fran too. I remember thinking, whoa, like I have like the best of friends who truly love me. And I immediately knew that all three of you were like, okay, when I'm old, I still expect a phone call from you. I still expect to see you, like for us to go to Yamcha or something. Like that's when I knew like, oh, this is friendship, like when I'm elderly, it's gonna like extend till that time, no matter what I go through in life. That's what I knew.
Wow, that's very specific. I almost forgot that even happened. I don't know, I have so many, I can't remember the exact moment, but I know like the moments that
like when
confirmed
did you,
it.
When
me.
Did you, oh, when you realized like, oh, we're soul sister, like what was your thought process? Like when you had the like, the realization?
Honestly, I think the realization came after a while. It wasn't immediately like, okay, she's gonna be in my life forever. It was mostly the fact that no matter what I went through or like whoever was my friend, I just always knew that I could come back to you. Like, aww, that you were always there for me. I think that was the moment I was like, okay, this girl's here to stay. Like, she's not just a temporary friend, because whatever I was going through, even if we were distant for a while or we just didn't get that chance to hang out, I just knew that you were always there for me. And I think that kind of consistency just confirmed to me that we were gonna be soul sisters, and obviously this is coupled with the fact that we are just so similar and we're like, so in sync.
Also, like, I think like the continuous effort to just meet
really
cemented that solid.
Actually, you know, maybe the soul sister part, now thinking back, was the struggles of Form 4 and 5 trying to study for SPM, because I'm just, my BM is so bad, guys. Like, same. My sejarah also is so bad. And I think it was the mutual struggle and the extended hours of tuition classes together that really like cemented it, because the struggles were real and there were times that we were super anxious that we wouldn't pass.
Yeah.
And
like,
that
we
real
weren't
anxiety
saying it, but we felt it.
Yeah, and like, that real anxiety was obviously very evident, but we'd always be there to support each other. And if you are in Form 5 right now, or you're going through a really difficult exam that could basically determine your life path, you're not alone. I understand how stressful that is, and I am not great with academics. I'm really bad.
No,
it's true.
But you work hard, though.
Okay, I work hard, but the thing is, there was a lot of times where I was just very, like, uncertain about my future and very uncertain about whether I would even do well. And it was just really comforting to have someone, like, by my side struggling or encouraging me. And a lot of the times, even in our BM class and stuff, we would help each other with akarangan.
Yeah.
And just help each other out with work.
What word to connect this sentence?
Give me a pananda wacana. Faster.
Mengalamakan.
Pribahasa. All that kind of stuff. So I completely get it. So if you are going through a difficult exam, whether it is SPM or PMR or a foreign exam, just know that you're not alone. And if you're struggling and if you're feeling anxious about it, feel free to hit us up and talk about it, because we've been through it. We are still going through it. And I know it's really difficult,
because there's so many like pressure and everything.
Uncertainty.
And like, and you're thinking like, oh, she's gonna do great, he's gonna do great. No, everyone's nervous, like really darn right nervous.
Yeah.
Even the smartest kid is nervous. So like, you're not alone, and you'll find comfort in that.
Mm. Okay, well, next question. What were one of the times we were glad, so glad to have each other, and why?
A specific time. I ask, this question's a specific time.
A specific time.
Yeah.
Do you have one?
I think so.
Okay, you can start.
I think it's one of them.
Definitely. There's so many.
But I think one that I can remember right now is like, this was like maybe last year, and I had like this stressful group assignment. I think I told you about coding.
Of course.
And how like nothing's coming together. I can't figure this out. I can't fix this. I was so frustrated. I remember I was just ranting to you. I ranted to you for a long time about this.
Yeah.
Quite often. Which, if you all know, that like some people, you know, like when your friend ran, you're like, oh yeah, one and done, you know? But like, you know, you have a true friend when you can rant about, revisit a topic again and again, and they will still listen to you. They might call you out and be like, didn't you, weren't you over this like a month ago? But then they're still around. They still read through your text, your rant, hear your voice messages. And I remember you were still encouraging no matter what. Like, you didn't really show that you were like tired or sick of hearing this. And so, and it really, really helped that you stayed that way, that you didn't show that you remained like, you got this, don't worry, you do, prayers, all that, blessing. Like, that really pulled me through, actually. She was definitely one of the people, because I ranted to a bunch, and you were definitely one of the people who was just like, pushing me through.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, but you do the same for me all the time as well. But yeah, I think the one memory
I was so glad to have you, Dan. I still am. I don't think I would have got the marks I got without like these kind of actions, you know?
Oh, thank you. That's so sweet. For me, I think now looking back, there's been many times that I've been glad to have you, but I think one of the most like significant time periods of my life was when I went to study my diploma, mm-hmm. and I was away from family for the first time, so I was really homesick on most nights. Mm-hmm. So I would always just randomly hit her up, and usually, you know, you hit your friends up when you want to say something, but this is like, I hit her up with nothing to say. I actually had nothing to talk about, but mm-hmm. we just spend maybe a few hours on Skype actually talking about nothing, because I had no context, I had no stories to share, but we just talk about nothing. But it was just those talks about nothing that really helped me through the hard times, like when I miss my family, because you're kind of like a slice of home, you know?
Yes, right? Same for
exactly, because I'm away from family, and I know that I have Tathy, and she's from home, even though we weren't together in the same state or the same city. I just had her voice there, and it just reminded me of high school, and it reminded me of home, and it didn't feel like I was so alone. And because I knew that you were also studying too, so both of us had that to rant about. Mm-hmm. And yeah, even now, like whenever I may be staying with family, or I may be with family or with friends, but it's just always nice to have someone from home that like really gets you.
I think why we like really vibe, why people like think like, why aren't you sick of each other?
Yeah.
Because we came from like home, we met when we were like 11. It's been so long, like it's been 10 years basically. But I think for both of us, we know that there isn't a lot of people in our lives who knew that phase in our lives and who are still with us in our life.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, Denise is like only one of handful of people who knew me when I was 11.
Yeah.
And who I'm actually really close to and still glad I am close to.
But actually, yeah, honestly, we can count how many times we're glad for each other, but I don't even think that it's like quantifiable at
this
point.
Yes, true.
There's just so many little moments as well. Like, for example, let's do some reminiscing. High school times when I was really glad for her could just even be like emergencies in the bathroom. Like, I trust you enough, like, girl, help me out here. Get me that toilet roll, get me that pad, whatever. You know, those kind of things.
Yes.
Where you're just in a position where you can be so open and just talk about anything, mm-hmm. or whatever. It just always glad to have you, basically.
Aww. I think it's like we're consistent. we made like big efforts to keep this friendship, but it's also built on a lot of small efforts, just like hi or what's up, and like I appreciate that. I value that. That's like, I think one of our love languages, like quality time.
Yes, that's actually, I think that's 100% true. I actually took the love language test the other day, mm-hmm. and it did say quality time.
It was like up there, yeah.
It was the first. It was the biggest.
Then after it was like words. And I'm like, yeah.
Acts of service, whatever, give me time. you want to go on to the next question?
Or should we go with us? Should we get to the individual
questions? Let's go.
So the first question is like, what keeps keeps you up at night, Denise?
Well, I'm gonna be honest. I am a uni student, so I'm up most nights. What really keeps me up is assignments and the impending deadlines. Let's be real here. But if we're talking about mental thoughts, if I'm not stressing out about work, if I'm not stressing out about work, then it's always about the future. That's what keeps me up at night. Because for me, I'm a very visual person. I'm not really great with like learning straight from the books and stuff. I oftentimes have to draw my own like mind maps and stuff. So for me, my surroundings are very important. So what keeps me up at night is always just like visualizing things. And be it like, I don't know, I visualize a lot of random stuff. It can be maybe where I see myself in the future or just what outfit I'm wearing tomorrow. That's kind of the stuff that keeps me up at night, if I'm honest. Or what am I having for breakfast? Do I have enough food? That kind of thing. Nothing usually that deep because if you know me, I'm a very easy, I can sleep really easily. I don't have any problem sleeping. If my head hits the pillow, I'm gone. I don't think that much. How about you?
I think, for me, it would be two things can keep me up at night. Like, I primarily would say as of late, one, my roommate, because I have to say, I have like, we're both chatter bugs, so yeah, that's another thing. So sometimes if one of us pose a question, right after we turn the lights off, I'm just like, oh no, we're not sleeping on time. So shout out to Darsh, my roommate. And then the second reason, which is I think it's like very real, is like stress or anxiety. Sometimes you can't really tell, they're a bit of both. Because like, it doesn't even have to be, it used to start with like, if I have work that's like pretty pressing and I don't have, and I'm not finished it and it's something I'm stressed about, it can keep me up at night. And but lately, it's more like, it can be work that's not even pressing and it can still keep me up at night because I'm just thinking, when am I going to get it done? How am I going to get it done? What am I doing later today?
Yeah.
And it's like, that's when I knew, when people were like, oh, when you hit adulthood insomnia, I was like, oh, I get it now. It's sad. All right, moving on.
Oh, yes. What are your three small happiness? Three small things that make you happy.
Makes me happy. When I get a meal I'm craving for.
Ooh.
Because like, you might think that's like not much, like that's easy to achieve. It's not. Not when A, you can't figure out what to eat and you can't really figure out what's your vibe, what's your appetite. And then when you do get it, maybe there's too much people or it's out, it's ran out. So yeah, I really appreciate when like the meal I came for, I actually get it.
Oh, okay.
Second, my skincare routine. Like, or even just cleansing, which is like my face. I think like that suits me because immediately my body knows, oh, it's time to shut down. And my brain's like, yeah.
The cleanser hits your face out. And your body's like, it's I'm ready.
It's a ritual for me. Like, even if I wasn't such a skincare junkie, I'm really glad I got into cleansing. And then I guess finally it would be if people just like randomly hit me up. Just be like, hi, how are you doing? And it's been a while. And I'm like, oh, you thought of me.
Yeah.
Like, basically any thoughts that you have for me and it's caring and you express that will make my day. How about you?
I have so many. I would like to think I'm a pretty positive, happy person. Mm-hmm. But the one of the things that never fails to make me really happy is dogs and cats, especially. Basically, I love animals. Oh, I said basically again. I hate myself.
Yes.
I love animals. My Instagram page, my Discover page is just animals. I love animals. So anything that I see, like a cute puppy or a cute kitten, I just see that can make my day. I love hedgehogs. I have a pet hedgehog. Shout out to Sonic. Not that he ever listens, but you know, shout out to him anyways. I just love pets, and I think just don't underestimate the power of animals. You know, sometimes all you need to do is just cuddle a cute puppy or stroke your kitten and you feel so much better. So for me, that's one of the things that brings me a lot of happiness. Another one would be I'd say when you finish your makeup and you feel confident. Oh, that kind of, you know, when you finish that final that last wing, touch. That when the wings match and you're like, wow, yes. I did that. And you just feel good about yourself. I think that kind of confidence really makes you feel very happy and very content. Mm-hmm. But another one would also be, I mean, I could go into all the sappy stuff, like hanging out with my family, which is 100% true. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about like instant happiness too, it would just be getting a good shower. Having a good shower, you know, like after a hot, sweaty day, after a workout, or just if your hair has been really straight up nasty for the past 3 days and you're finally washing it, that post-shower feeling is unbeatable. Or when your aircon's been on already and you enter your bed and it's like and nice it's just and cold. Right, yeah, yes. I love that feeling. I think that's the kind of happiness that money cannot buy. It's actually money can buy because you're paying for the aircon, but you know what I mean.
All right, cool. Money can buy happiness. Small happiness.
I mean, come on, guys, don't lie. When you get new clothes, you feel happy.
Yeah, true. Okay, next up is what emotion has someone made you feel that you never forgot and why?
Your whole life. Oh, wow.
The deep. Dig deep, Denise. Wait, actually, I don't know if I have my own answer for this.
Give us a moment.
I mean, like, honestly, you can also apply this question to you guys because we'd be curious too. So.
Oh, yeah, please answer us with whatever memories that you have with your best friend or even
give us your answers to these questions.
I know this episode sounds very self-centered, but it really isn't. We just wanted to share a bit more about us with you guys.
Yes. I mean, we rarely express anything ourselves.
Yeah, don't worry. After this, it's straight back to the regular scheduling of pondering about world problems. But okay, what emotion have I felt? Do I have feelings?
Do you have emotion? Do I feel?
Someone made me feel.
Almost like, or even like that Mr. Grinch scene where he realized he's feeling.
Oh.
Or even that Eureka moment. Denise is really thinking. Should I go first?
Yeah, you can go first.
Okay. My first one was it's not a happy feeling, I will say that.
It's okay. Life is not always happy.
it was when I was doing ballet when I was around kindergarten. And I was at the time in this Chinese government school. And when you got to primary 3, basically 10 and above, you got afternoon classes, basically. And you go home later in the day. So it kind of collided with my ballet classes because they didn't, for the ranking of, I guess, ballet skill that I was, they were only had that classes around afternoon. And so my mom wrote a letter to the principal. Keep in mind, I also hated this Chinese government school. That's why I transferred to another school where I met Denise. Because I wasn't doing great there. And to top it off, my mom wrote a letter to the principal where she just asked if I could leave like maybe 30 minutes early just to make it for this class. And got a no. And I remember she really hated the principal for me. It's also, actually there's two feelings here. I remember that was like the first time I realized my mom was truly on my side. Like just the fact that she told me, because like the principal has this habit where he'll be at one of the entrances, and when it's time to go home, he'll be there to wave the kids goodbye. And so that means he'll also see the parents, and he'll see my mom glaring from the parking lot. But it also, and I remember I felt like, wow, she's put so much effort for something I truly love. I truly did enjoy ballet, and to the fact that it got rejected, so it meant that, and also, it was no question that I couldn't choose ballet over education, right? Mm. So I had to quit ballet. And I remember I was at the school and my mom was filing the forms to resign from ballet. And I remember driving home and I was crying, but it wasn't like loud crying. It was the first time I silent cried in my life because I, like, you know when a kid you don't know how to like
control
put things in words, but you knew you were feeling something big and significant. That for me was like the first significant sad thing, because I was like, oh gosh, I'm never gonna be able to ballet again, you know. That's when I really realized I was giving something up, but it wasn't like anything else I've given up before, because I knew I was gonna freaking kind of regret it. And my mom knew this, and then if you ask her now, that's also one of her regrets, that she couldn't help me keep me in ballet. So yeah, that's it's probably one of like the first, you know how people's like, oh, you give up dreams in your life, you know, there's so many dreams you give up. I think that one was my first. That was like a true, one of the true dreams. But it also taught me after that, if I have another feeling of something, I ain't gonna let it go as easily.
Wow. Well, I mean, since we're getting deep, I think one of the times that, like, the emotion that made me feel, like, an emotion that I will never forget was the moment that, I guess it was the moment that I realized that I could do anything that I wanted to do. Like there were no limits in life. And that came from a pretty sad time as well, because, so, basically, please stop. It was in math class. I can't remember how old I was, but I remember I've never been great at math. And the reason why is because I do have a learning disability, which I only recently found out because I got it properly diagnosed. I didn't tell you this, but I actually properly got it diagnosed.
You told me this. You told me that you were you were officially like diagnosed.
Okay,
and that's why you work extra hard.
Yeah, so I officially got diagnosed like with a whole cert and report and everything this year, but I've always had this learning disability. It's called dyscalculia, and I've had it ever since I was a kid, ever since I was born basically. It just, it's the same thing as, the only easy way to explain it is it's dyslexia but with numbers. But there's a whole bunch of other ways that it affects me as well. And to bring this whole story in full circle, I was in math class and I had told my teacher that I couldn't do it. Like, I just couldn't do the work, and I didn't know how to properly explain it because my teacher didn't believe me.
Right.
And at that moment, I was just so, I felt like giving up because no one ever believed me that I had dyscalculia. And it's a very unknown learning disability that a lot of people struggle with, but not a lot of people talk about it. And it's not widely known like dyslexia is. So my teacher didn't believe me, and he refused to give me a pass on homework, even though I just couldn't do it.
Right.
So I brought it home. And for a couple years, not a lot of people know this, but my dad actually helped me do my homework, like, every day. So after work, he'd come back, and he would just help me do the work. And I'd sit next to him and pretend I understood what was going on. But at some point, I just knew that I really couldn't do it. And my dad just helped me do the work day in and day out. And what I didn't understand at that time was, why would the teachers allow me to go through that kind of pain? Like, they know I'm failing every test. And when I say failing, I don't mean a below 20, I mean like one digit numbers. Sometimes I wouldn't get any questions correct, but how could this be possible? How could someone fail every single test, take every exam and still fail, but pass up all their homework and get perfect grades?
Right.
Like, you must have known that someone was doing her work.
Right.
Yet you still refused to believe me. And it was in that moment that when that teacher refused, like repeatedly refused to believe me, that I knew that I wouldn't let this hold me back. And I knew that I would just work really hard and just, you know, find a way to work around it. So I found strategies, I found a way to cope, and I managed to pass SPM, I managed to pass PMR.
Right.
I didn't get an A for math, but I got through it. And it was through like a lot of hard work and a lot of strategies, but it was from that period of time when nobody believed me that I really felt like that emotion of, I don't know what to describe the emotion. It was kind of just like, I got a tenacity, I built up my own like confidence in myself, because I knew that no one else
was gonna believe me.
Yeah, no, like, if no one was gonna believe me, I was just gonna make myself worthy of them believing in me. And I think that's a very, that was a very like big moment in my life when I just learned that whatever obstacles are being thrown in my way, whether, yeah, I have a disability, but I'm not gonna let that affect my future. So I worked really hard, and I picked a course that has no math. life hack. Study mass comm, study film. There is no math involved. And yeah, I'm doing so much better now. I don't have to do math. Right. And even if I do, I have calculators. I'm so grateful that I have friends that always help me out. Mm-hmm. If I don't know how much change to give back, people will just let me know, hey, you owe me this much. And I won't have to calculate it in my head because chances are I cannot calculate it. But yeah, that was like the moment for me that I was really happy to have. It was a very bittersweet moment because there was a time, obviously, I was feeling really upset. I felt very hopeless. Like, there wasn't a future for me because I couldn't pass math at all. But if you guys are struggling with a certain subject or you feel like you're really not getting anywhere, don't let that discourage you.
Yeah. If you're in pain, chances are you're not losing. Mm. That's the thing. Like, even adults tend to forget this because it's hard. But chances are, if you're feeling a lot of pain, there's always something to learn from it.
Yeah, and you become so much better from that.
Yeah, it becomes a learning lesson. And then when you look back on it a time after, it's not as painful as it was before. So yes, moving on.
How do we move on from that?
with this question. What have you learned most from your sibling or siblings? Because I have more than one sibling.
I have one sibling.
Yes, what have you learned from Kebo?
Kebo. Hello, Kevin. I don't know if you're listening to this. You're next door from us, so you can probably hear us. But yeah, my brother is basically my best friend, and everybody that knows me knows that because we're really close and we always have been. But
like, what's the like a lesson you've learned from him?
To chill, honestly, to chill, because I always get so worked up, and everyone knows this, I am not fun, I am not a spontaneous person, so I like to plan things, and I just like to know what's gonna happen, right. But my brother is, like, completely opposite. He's super spontaneous, he likes to go with the flow, and I am learning more and more about that each day from him, mm-hmm. And also because he constantly reminds me to chill out, so even though I get annoyed by it, I do take his advice and I do chill, and he's always there to hear me out. And even when I make up things that are not actually problems, he'll just say, just chill, and that's enough for me to be like, okay, you know what, maybe I should be more like him and relax a bit more and not think so much. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's the one thing that, well, he taught me a lot of things, but that's primarily what I learned from him. Mm. How about you and your siblings?
I don't, because like, it's a lot. It's really because there's that age gap, right? Mm. So sometimes I feel like it's hard for me to be like, what about what they're doing is relevant to me now? But I think primarily what I learned most from both my brothers is that, like, as long as you're smart about things and, like, you learn how to be independent, basically. I learned a lot of being independent from my brothers. Like, not to say how to be independent per se, but more like to have the initiative and the incentive to be independent. Like, I'm inspired that from them the most, because I truly think they've built the life they currently have. And it's not to say, of course, people didn't help. It's not like my mom did not help them financially or give them support emotionally. Yes, that factors in, but like, they truly like proved to me, like, you can have whatever life you want if you put in the work for it and if you put the incentive for it. And I feel like, as someone who's always just like can be overcome by my own emotions, it's sometimes hard to be objective, you know? And I feel like I get that side from my brothers. Like, they've for example, like, in earlier on, if you told 12-year-old me that, like, oh, you're going to science stream, I would not believe you. I believe, because from my Chinese government school, I believe to be like you. Like, I'm just dumb, you know? Like, I could not change that. And then my brothers were like, no, they refused that reason from me. And they were like, you can do science stream. And then when I realized I could do science stream and I actually like science stream, I was shook, you know? Like, they made me think, like, oh, like, any, I could actually do it, and like, anything was possible for me. And the choice has always been up to me.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest thing I got from them. The choice is always up to you. It's never anybody's choice.
Life is what you make of it.
Yeah. And yeah, and I really am thankful. Like, we don't talk often, but I consider this a platform where I do say, like, I'm very thankful they taught me that.
That's very beautiful, actually. Don't know where to go from that.
This whole episode is just like, oof.
I think we could just end it with, like, what is our best memory we have together? I think that would be a good way to end it.
Yes.
So let's hear it. What's your best memory
of us together?
Of us. We're laughing because we have a lot.
We have a lot to do that. Like, if we were frenemies, oh, we would have
too much.
A lot of blackmail material.
Okay, you know what? I think I have one really good. All right. I have a lot, but I think this one sticks out to me the most was when I first moved to this house, mm-hmm. and you came over, mm-hmm. and we had nothing in this house, and you basically helped me furnish my room. We were building this chair that I'm sitting on. And it was such a fun day.
It was,
we
actually.
We were exhausted.
I was down for it. I was like, ooh, we're DIYing.
Yeah.
IKEA.
Spray painting. We had satay afterwards. It was a really fun memory.
Yeah. I think, for me, it was like, whenever we hung out, just two of us. Like, because I don't know, I thrive a lot on one-on-one or face-to-face. I love groups. I love our group of friends, yeah. too. But, like, if I'm just with just you, the fact that, like, we just have each other and the amount of tension and the amount of, like, I feel like I bond more exponentially. And so, like, all the times we had brunch together, especially when we were outside where we were, this was, like, post-high school, so we didn't have to go to a class together,
bless.
No tuition together. I was, like, that was, like, one of the best memories.
Yeah, we have had a lot. We also have so many weird memories together, so if you guys want a part two of this, let us know, because we actually have so many. Yeah, I think that's it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I know it's a little bit different from what we're used to doing, but we thought we would just
share a bit about us. And don't worry, we're not just gonna be personal on the podcast. We're also thinking how to be more personal on the Instagram.
Yes, we're trying to find new ways to be more engaging with you guys. So let us know any content ideas if you want. Maybe if you want some videos, we could do that. A live, yeah. We could do that too. All of this obviously with the fact in mind that we sometimes don't get to see each other as often as we'd like.
Yeah.
But we will make it work, we'll make it happen, and yeah, I really hope that you guys stay tuned and keep up with us for season 2. We have a lot of fun stuff planned.
So yeah, catch us on all the platforms.
You know the drill. We're still Nuts and Berry on Instagram. Hopefully we will post more frequently this season. And if you miss our voices, you can go back and listen to season 1. We got we got a good cup of, I don't even know what the
content.
Content.
Some kind of
a
content.
Cup of content. We don't have enough. It's not a jug yet. It's a cup. But if you want, go back and listen to it, or definitely give us ideas on what you want to see from us or hear from us this season. We'd love to hear your ideas. If there's any topics you want us to touch, we're basically open to talk about anything.
Yeah.
Call us out on us saying basically every single time. We are so sorry. It's such a habit that I can't break, but I'm trying to. It's a new year.
Yeah, we are trying to.
We really are trying.
But, so, yeah. See you in the next one, guys.
Bye.